So if you want to open your Bibles this morning, but we're not going to be in the Gospel of John, actually. We're going to be around a few different places, and I love Christmas decorations. I just love this, but I just thought wasn't it last month we just celebrated the 4th of July, and now it's like Christmas, but I'm going to go out of character a little bit here this morning and ask you to turn to Matthew 15. And out of character by ways of, I don't usually do theme messages, for holidays except for Christmas and Easter, which isn't a holiday really. Those are holy days. I'm going to talk about thankfulness. And I titled this, Thankfulness in All Things and the Glory of God, right? If you do a word search in the Bible, on thankfulness or giving thanks, then you'll find that, that thankfulness and giving thanks should really be a very strong Christian characteristic. And the Bible is, the New Testament is, and Old Testament alike, is filled with that aspect, that calling for those who are, you know, God followers, those who know the only God, right, should have that characteristic of thankfulness and thanksgiving and giving thanks. 1 Corinthians 1:4, it says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus. Paul starts out many of his letters with that idea. I give God thanks. 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 9:11 and 12, you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. 1 Timothy 4:4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. That's thanksgiving. And there, of course, is Philippians 4:6, where it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 3:16 and 17, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The reality is, Christians should be celebrating Thanksgiving a lot, right? And I always joke around whenever we sit down with family and we have a big meal, I always say, wow, it was a good Thanksgiving meal, right? No matter what it was. But that should be the characteristic, really, of Christians. And so what I'd like to do this morning is answer three questions about thankfulness in the Christian life, right? One is, what is genuine thankfulness? Two is, how does it relate to the glory of God? And three, how can I be thankful in all situations? All right. In Budapest, there's a story about a man who goes to a rabbi and he complains. And he says to the rabbi, he says, Rabbi, life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in one room. What can I do? And the rabbi answers and he says, take your goat into the room with you. And the man is really skeptical, right? But the rabbi insists. He says, do as I say and come back in a week and talk to me. So the man goes home and takes the goat into the room to live with them. And a week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than ever. And he says, we can't stand it. The goat stinks, right? The goat is filthy. And the rabbi tells him, go home and let the goat out and come back in a week. And in a week, the man returns as he's radiant. He's exclaiming, life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now. And there's no goat. And now there's only nine of us in the house. Right? Now, is the man genuinely thankful or is he just relieved? Right? Right? That's a question. I mean, we all know that you can make your child say thank you, right? But can you make the child be thankful? Right? You can't, can you? Right? You can't. One doesn't equate to the other. And if you ever think about that, why it is, the answer is because true thankfulness actually is thanks feeling, right? It is something that comes from your heart. It's a true reality of your feeling. God said it this way, okay? And Jesus then repeated it, and it's recorded for us in Matthew 15. In Matthew 15, 7 and 8, it's not on the screen. Did I tell you to turn there? I meant to, but it's not up there. I don't think it's up there. Is it up there? No. Mine's blank, yours blank. But he said this, God said this, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. These people, and this is what he says, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And he's talking about worship here, right? But what is worship? Worship is thankfulness for God in our lives, right? Worship is thankfulness for God and who he is. We just thank him as our good, good father, right? We're thankful for that. And so we worship him. And God is saying, look, thanksgiving without thanks feeling is empty. You just come to me with your lips. That's empty, right? It's vain worship. So what is genuine thankfulness? And genuine thankfulness in the biblical sense is an act of the heart's affection. It's not an act of the lips. It's not an act of the lips. It is not a decision of the will. It is a reflex of the heart. It's something that happens to us, isn't it? It is something that happens to us. Someone does something good towards you, and either you feel gratitude or you don't. Either you feel thankful for that or you don't. Right? If we have been programmed to respond as a robot, we might say thank you, right? Or if we're like a dog who shows gratefulness and gratitude, so what? So it gets another treat, right? We might say thank you, right? We might cause our lips to say thank you. But when it comes to being thankful, and especially thankful to God, whether it's expressed in praise or expressed in our works, it's no different. God desires it to be from the heart, not just something from the lips, doesn't he? In Psalm 51, amazing psalm, the first two-thirds of the psalm is the psalmist asking God. Well, verse 10 tells you exactly what he's asking God. He's asking God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, right? And at the conclusion of the psalm, we found out why he wants God to create this in him. In verse 15, he says this, O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. The psalmist wants to offer up praise to God. See? There are three Hebrew words for praise, and all three of them contain the idea of giving thanks, actually. All three of them. A biblical definition of a Christian praise really is the joyful thanking and adoring of God, right? The celebration of God's goodness, of God's character, of his grace, and being thankful for that. Look, the psalmist goes on, verse 16. For you do not delight in sacrifices, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. You see, it's a gratitude truly felt in the heart, he's saying, right? That is my only kind of sacrifice. That's the only kind of sacrifice that pleases God. And so the sacrifice of thanksgiving that glorifies God is the offering, he says here, of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And Psalm 51 is written at a very hard time in David's life, right? It's after he has committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed to cover his sin. And he's asking, he says, create in me a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. And he's obviously speaking of his genuine inward feeling of repentance of sin in his life, isn't he? Broken spirit means be overwhelmed with sorrow, right? Contrite heart means to feel remorse, right? Deeply regretful and wishing to atone for his sin. So the offer of praise, the offer of thanksgiving must come from within, right? It must come from within a genuine heart, right, of thanks. And when it does, look, it glorifies God. It glorifies God. Psalm 50:23 says, the one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice, God says, glorifies me. It's pretty simple, huh? The one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. So how does this genuine thankfulness relate to the glory of God? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. I already mentioned that verse, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:15, he says, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. So that the key is so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And so the sequence goes like this. The verse goes like this. God's grace, as it's being experienced, right, as a wonderful, undeserved thing, right? Right? It leads to heartfelt thanks. Okay? Feeling rises in the heart, right? And there's this true thank feeling, right? Thanks feeling. And this overflows with thanksgiving towards God, who is shown to be glorious, and the result is he is glorified. You see, when real thanksgiving, heartfelt thanksgiving is given towards God, it could be for salvation, and this is what we mean by grace being is spreading to more and more here in 2 Corinthians. When heartfelt thanksgiving is given towards God for salvation or blessings or strength in troubled times, for whatever God is doing in our life, right, for spiritual growth, whatever it is, it's because of God's grace, right? We're not worthy of it. And so it leads to what? It leads to a heartfelt thanks to God. And that's what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians. And in that, God is first shown to be glorious, right? In our lives, shown to be glorious, because he's doing something in our life, right? And he's shown to be glorious then to the world because of what he's doing in our lives, right? And we give the praise for blessings. We give him the praise for strength in troubled time. We give him the praise for our achievements in the world and the things that we do. And that's what you see when you see Christians doing that, giving God the praise for what they're doing is giving God praise for the grace that is God is throwing into their lives. And God is glorified when that kind of thanksgiving is given because it's genuine, you see. It's genuine. When we do that, God is shown to be glorious in our lives, outwardly to the world, and thus he is glorified. So the real question then comes, how does this happen? Or what can I do to keep myself in a state of heartfelt thanksgiving, even when times are hard, right? How, the third question, can I be thankful in all situations? Because that's when it gets tough, isn't it? I mean, I want that. I want that affection for God to be constant, right? As constant as possible. So how can we do that? Well, first, we need to do as David did. As David always did. It has been said that David, that he sinned big, right? But it's also been said that he repented even bigger. He was able to repent big because he had an even bigger view of really the grace of God than he did his own sin. He had a huge view of the grace of God. And think about this. This is before Jesus. This is before Jesus, right? This is pre-Jesus. Post-Jesus, after Jesus, we define grace as God's undeserved favor, right? We've heard that definition. But David understood that grace was not the external act of Jesus who was yet to come. Grace was the very character of God. That's what David understood. Look what he said in Psalm 103. Look at this with me. It's not on the screen. You want to pull that up there in your Bibles, on your phone, wherever you're looking at. But Psalm 103, beginning in verse 8, David says this. He says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." You see, if reading that about God doesn't bring about heartfelt thanksgiving, then you don't know God the way that David knew God, do you? Right? You don't know God this way. I am very thankful, and hopefully you are, that God is slow to anger, aren't you? Right? I am glad he does not deal with me according to my sins or reward me according to my iniquities. When I think about the truth that God has in Jesus removed my transgressions as far as the east is from the west, I can't help but come to him with a broken heart, right? A contrite heart, a heart full of thanksgiving. So the first thing we must do is come to God the way that David came to God, seeing him as a father of abundant grace, isn't it? Secondly, is this, I need to understand something about blessings, right? And when we think about blessings, when we think about Thanksgiving, with my grandchildren, I love it. They're extremely literal, right? And you find that in young kids today. They're extremely literal, right? Matter of fact, one of my grandchildren saw on TV that the Macy's parade was the 92nd parade and wanted to know why the parade was only going to be a minute and a half. It's the 92nd one. And I said, that's for all of us that only want 90 seconds of the parade, right? One of the games I like to play with some of my grandchildren when we're driving around is like word games, because they, you know, we look at sayings that are that really we don't take literal, right, in America. And I play this game because they help my vocabulary. We're talking about different things, you know, like bank teller. Why do they call them bank teller? They don't tell you anything. They ask you questions, right? And not too long ago, one of them said, it shouldn't be Thanksgiving. It should be Thanksgetting. Right? It should be Thanksgetting, because, I mean, that's what you're thankful for. You're thankful when you get something, you know? And one of the little Billy in the Family Circus cartoon, right? He's with his mom and he's shopping for Thanksgiving. And he said, Thanksgiving should come after Christmas. Then we'd have more things to be thankful for. Right? Now the cartoon is funny, but it's also pretty true. It's reality. It's reality that our thankfulness is often, if not mostly, focused on external blessings, right? External circumstances. What we mean when we say we are blessed, usually, is it's a way of expressing the things that we are thankful for, right? When we say we're blessed, we're expressing the things that we are thankful. The things we are thankful for are usually external, aren't they? A good job, family, health, a church family. Not wrong to be thankful for those things. But that's usually the only place we go. If you go to the Christian bookstore or CBD, you'll find them both stocked with signs and accessories so we can declare to the world or anyone who comes in our house that we're blessed, right? But what do we mean when we say that we are blessed? Are these things, a good job, family, health, a church family, and whatever else, are these really at the center of what it means to be blessed? That's the question. I think we need to understand that. And we get to a sense of what it really means to be blessed if we go to the book of Numbers. You thought Numbers was really boring. But look at this, Numbers. In Numbers, I love this. In chapter 6, 22 through 27, it says this. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. These words, understand, these words are not given for Israel's priests to use them to ask God for his blessing. And we often use them that way too. May the Lord do this for you. That's not the intent of what's written here, right? It's not for the priest to use to ask God for his blessings, leaving them to wonder whether God would give it or not. Rather, God took the initiative to assure his people of his settled intention to bless them, you see. That's what he's telling them there. The Lord bless you and keep you. He is, right? He wants to make it clear that he intended to be personally involved in their lives. So the first thing we learn from blessings is that God is the source of every blessing in our lives. But he is more than the source, because what God is telling Israel here is he's also the substance of their blessing. You see, experiencing God's blessing is not merely just getting good things from God. The essence of God's blessings is getting God, right? And getting more of God. Whenever we ask him to bless us, we're essentially inviting him, what? To invade every aspect of our life. That's what we're doing. You see, when we ask him to bless our plans, we're inviting him into those plans, aren't we? That's what we're doing, right? When we ask him to bless our family, our job, right? All aspects of our life, we're inviting him to come into all of those things and maybe even disrupt them or change them. In asking for his blessings, we're confessing that the outcome of our lives will not be the sum of our own grand effort, right? Instead, anything and everything good that emerges from our lives will be a result of his sovereign presence in it. That's what a blessing is. That's what it means to be blessed by God. Right? So to be blessed by God is to have God working in every aspect of our life. That's what it is to be blessed by God. To have him working in our lives. But how then can the Apostle Paul, who knows more about trouble in life, right, that most of us will ever know, how can he say, like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? In everything. Not only the good things, but the evil, harsh times created in this world. He's saying, know that you are blessed. Give God thanks. When he says give thanks, he's saying know that you're being blessed even in those times. You see? Know that God is involved even in those times. And listen, knowing that you are blessed creates what? A thankful heart, doesn't it? And this is why Jesus can say in John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled, believe in God. Believe also in me. And in John 16, he says, these things, verse 33, I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. This is why Jesus can say those things. You see, because Jesus is involved in our life. We are being blessed. Even when the world has given you tribulation. We who have believed in Jesus have been reconciled to God. And we can take courage. Not only because Jesus has overcome the world, but because you are blessed by God and being blessed by God in every circumstances. His blessings are constant, right? So it is possible to give thanks with heavy hearts in the midst of trouble, because in all of our trouble, we know God is still blessing. See, God is still blessing. And in all of our trouble, we know that God knows the beginning from the end, right? As Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient time, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasures. That's what that verse is talking about. God's blessings in our life. God's hand in our life. It's possible to give thanks with heavy hearts in the midst of trouble, because even in the worst of troubles, God says he will not forsake you. Even in the worst of trouble, God says he's working things together for our good. Even in the worst of troubles, he says he will complete a good work that he began in us, despite the troubles of the world, despite the way things may look at this moment. As Philippians 1:6, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. If we trust the Father in the worst, in the darkest, in the most horrible trouble we face, he will make us, Romans 8 tells us, more than conquerors, even in those. In Psalm 56:8, the psalmist declares, he says, you have taken account of my wanderings. And then he says this, you put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Does it mean God have a bottle of your tears? And he's using a metaphor, right? An imagery to express that the psalmist is expressing that even his tears are not overlooked by God. God hasn't overlooked them. He has gathered them all. What a beautiful picture. He hasn't overlooked not one tear. And ultimately, what will God do with those tears? Well, Revelation 21 tells us he'll wipe them away forever, won't he? So what is genuine thankfulness? Genuine thankfulness is an act of the heart's affection, right? It's not an act of the lips for a Christian. It may result in that, right? How does it relate to the glory of God? God has shown the world to be glorious in our life when we give praise, right? Acknowledgement for God's blessings. Right? For his work in our lives, for strength in troubled times, right? For guidance and achievements, even in this world, for all aspects of life, right? And when we do that, God is shown to be glorious, right? In our lives, shown to be glorious. We call that God working in someone's life. We call that a testimony, right? And the biblical term is God is being shown to be glorious in that person's life. And therefore it shows the world that he is glorious, you see. And he is thus glorified. And how can I be thankful in all situations? We who believed in Jesus have been reconciled to God. We can take courage not only because Jesus has overcome the world, but because you are blessed by God. Blessed by God. You're being blessed, have been blessed, will continue to be blessed by God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. This is not only future promise for you, this is present reality, right? That's what it is. The Lord has and will continue to bless and keep you. The Lord has and will continue to be gracious to you. The Lord has and will give you peace. See? We have so many things to be thankful for. But God the Father being central to all of those, right? Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, we come and we gather together as a body of Christ to show our thanks for your blessings, for your work in our life, God, for your calling us when we run and had run from you, to showing us Christ, showing us our sin. We sing praises to you for those things. We sing praises to you for all the things that you have done in our life, molding us, directing us. For the good things in our life, we give you thanks. For the hard things in our life, we give you thanks. Because we see your mighty hand always at work. And God, my prayer is that as a body and as individuals, the world might see through us your glory. That you may be seen glorious, Lord, in our lives as we give you, Lord, all the thanks that you are deserved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.